Stay tuned for your 3CR podcast, featuring interviews from Bundles Fire Radio Show. 3CR is an independent community radio station in Fitzroy, Victoria, on the unceded lands of the Kulin Nation. For more information, go to www.3cr.org.au. Welcome to the fire. We've got a special program today. As you know, we're focusing on the 44 housing towers demolition and what that represents and what it means. And I'm going to get RQ to introduce our program today. Good morning, RQ, and thanks.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, good. You got in okay, which is good because it's so stormy out there. Well, it's about to get really bad.
Yes, so take care, everyone.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, really relevant to public housing and housing security, is the issue of homelessness. And we were lucky enough a couple of weeks ago to have some guests in, Meg from the Homeless Persons Union, and also Fluffy, who's a homelessness support worker but also has lived experience.
It was good to see him yesterday.
Yeah, yes, it was good. Yeah, so yesterday we were out at the town hall, the Melbourne Town Hall, in the late afternoon because the City Council, their Future Melbourne Committee, was meeting to discuss the council plan for 2025. That's what that was. Okay. And, yeah, the Homeless Persons Union put on a speak out at the front of that, and that was fantastic. And you spoke at it as well, yes, which is great. So, we've been really lucky. 3CR was down there as well, and Zan recorded the speeches for us. So we're going to play the first three speeches. That's yours, Olivia Ball, who's a Melbourne City Council councillor, and also Spike, who's from the Homeless Persons Union, who I think helped to start up that union. We'll play them first. And then, we also went into the actual committee meeting last night, and it was really, really impactful. Like the Homeless Persons Union, I think, for over the last couple of weeks, spoke directly to people sleeping rough on the street, and they've been able to collect these really powerful testimonies of people's experience with these private security guards that the council has employed, essentially to move them on and, in effect, criminalise.
What's the name of that security group?
Crownland Security.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What a name.
Yeah. Yeah. And the council, just a recap for those who were listening who weren't able to tune in a couple of weeks ago, the council has a program at the moment, and they've got a contract with a private for-profit security company called Crownland Security, and they pay them $2 million a year, I think, for 10 guards. And they're not the only council that have this program in place, but I think they were the first to implement this. And essentially, they've employed these security guards to make our cities safe and clean and more habitable. But in reality, what people are experiencing is that they're feeling targeted. They're using standover tactics. These guards have guns. They're meant to be, I think the idea was that they move them on if people are begging or if there's public drinking. But in effect, what's actually happening is people are being moved on just for occupying public space. In really brutal and patronising ways as well.
And a lot of the people on the streets are Aboriginal people.
That's right.
Always been that situation.
Yeah.
Chronically bad housing.
Yeah.
And a lot of our people are homeless. And it's our land, by the way. It's not Crown.
That's it.
I'm going to take that issue up later in the year.
Yeah. In December, yeah?
December 2nd. Court case against, basically trying to deal with that issue of whose land is this?
Mm.
Colonisers, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
There's no treaties, no consent.
You
haven't got no jurisdiction.
Mm. You talk about homelandlessness.
Homelandlessness, yeah. Yes. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got eight testimonies that we're going to play today as well. And that was, recorded on the streets by the Homeless Persons Union. And they're really powerful. So, yes.
Stay tuned. We better get on with that then.
Let's do it.
Within the hour.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us.
At the top of the bill, we have got three speakers we would like to hear from first. The first is Uncle Robbie Thorpe, who will welcome us into this space.
Hello.
Secondly, we'll have Councillor Olivia Ball. Olivia is the only City of Melbourne councillor who is publicly speaking out about this shithole agenda of the council. And then after that, we'll have Patrick Spike Giacalone from the Homeless Persons Union. So thank you very much for showing up. Anything else I must say? At 5:30, Defend Dissent Coalition are going to take the space. So stick around for that. Or if you would like to attend the meeting, we'll be heading into the meeting at 5:30, and the Homeless Persons Union has 10 testimonies from current rough sleepers in the CBD that we've collected the past week or so, sharing their reflections on the security guard program and what their experiences have been to date. I think that's everything, so please give it up for Uncle Robbie Thorpe.
It's coming. Yeah, good on you, everyone, turning up today. I really believe if you don't fight, you lose. And that's been the case for our people. If we don't fight, and we're left behind. You know, this is Aboriginal land. I don't do welcome. It's inappropriate. We do acknowledgement. What it is to acknowledge that the most homeless people in this country, chronically badly people,
are the Aboriginal people.
We occupied this land for as far back as their dating techniques can take you. 120,000 years here in Victoria. We're homelandless. Look, what's this? It's garbage. Call it civilization. It's an illegal occupation. This, they're fascists. Been saying it the whole time. If you allow this to manifest, you know what's going to happen. All right? There's no economics in oppressing the original people no more. So it's the poor people and the most vulnerable. It's how they roll. But it's an illegal occupation. If it wasn't for the acts of terror and the policies of genocide, you wouldn't be here. In fact, I see a couple of black fellas there. There's not many black fellas here. But this is our land. And we see the land as our mother. Yeah. And we'll never give it up, ever. Hey? Australia's a fascist. I say it's like a Nazi wet dream. It is for our people. Maybe people can start to realise that's true. Have a look at its history here. It's disgusting. You know? Or to live in a box. In fact, you know, people say that we were wandering around aimlessly like nomads on this land. That's not true. Our people had a sophisticated way of life here. In fact, we had the old houses, the oldest houses known to mankind. Stone houses. They bulldozed them as recently as 1970. They can't have that. Can't have that evidence that Aboriginal people were a sophisticated people and looked after this land. You think you're looking after the land with all this crap on it here? It's like a cancer to me. Anyway, it's not why we're here to talk about that, but, you know, I understand what homelessness is. I probably spent about 10 years of my own life, you know, unhoused. I'm lucky. I've got a strong family and strong community around me. You know, not everyone's got that. That's what I've been able to survive. But that's what it is. Unless you've got that, you're in trouble. And you get kicked around by these fascists here. You know? It's pretty piss weak. Alright? It really is.
So we're going to stand up and we're going to fight. We're going to fight them. We're going to fight them with these 44 towers they want to demolish. And what's that about? They can't even tell you what the deal is here. And these places, there's no problem with these places. I live in them. I like it. I really do. It's beautiful. Community. So what happens to this, what is it, about 20,000 people just dislocated like that, dispossessed, you know? Supposed to be a housing crisis. What a joke. You're a disgrace, Australia, on so many levels. It's not your land. You can't build houses if it's not your land or what? Hey? So we're going to fight back for the people, you know. You know, it's, you don't need that many people to tip this useless, racist, illegal occupation over. They're all criminals. It's all based on crime. This country, it's a crime scene. In fact, I've got a website called crimesceneaustralia.com. Check it out. We've got a case against the Crown. They're the ones behind it all. If you have a look at every bit of law they make in this country, they have a thing called royal assent. What's that? That means the royal family is responsible. Right? So I want to take them out. They haven't got a legal leg to stand on, as far as I'm concerned. Moral, ethical basis of occupying this land. I think it's important that we recognise Aboriginal people. It's their land. And we looked after the land. We're in good health. We had need of nothing. Colonisers brought nothing here other than diseases, racism, hatred. Not much more than that. So we need to stand up. I have a little saying. Australia's never had a revolution, but it's always been revolting. It's like it's the end of the day now. Trashed everything in this land. Everything. You know, Victoria, the worst of them all. This is where the first constitution came from, here. Here. Victoria. The first constitution. And it was based on empty land theory. This is where Terra Nullius all began. Right here. Yeah. Don't forget us. There's not many of our people left. But we're never going to give it up. Right? We'd rather die than live like an assimilated imbecile. That's what they've tried to do to our people. We're fighting back. And that's where it begins. They can't justify it. So what is the deal that they did for this housing here, for these 44 towers? You know, it's a real issue. Let's gather these people together, stand with them. Anyway, so just keep fighting. Don't ever give up, ever. It's our land. You don't get things from acts of genocide. You don't get to own things. Acts of terror, lies. That's what your country's built on, Australia. What a ridiculous name. Are you Australian? Yeah, you are. What a name. Come up with something better than that, can't you? Anyway, we had some beautiful names for this place. And I want to recognise the people who did live here in harmony with the land, with the people. That's the civilization, folks, when you can do that. It's a lame excuse for a civilization, Australia. Yeah. peel back all the lies and you see what it's really all about. And they can get away with doing this, pressing people, because that's how they do things, you know, pressing the most vulnerable people. Anyway, they made a mistake when they took us on. We don't give it up, ever. Thank you. Who's on next?
Robbie, very, very much. My name is Olivia Ball. I'm a councillor here on Melbourne City Council. And I acknowledge that this is stolen land. This is sovereign Wurundjeri Bik, unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. And I pay my respects to them and to all Aboriginal people who are here with us today. I want to thank you for being here and for your interest and concern about this subject, which also concerns me. I was on council. I started out as a psychologist, working primarily with refugees and trauma. And in the last 25 years, I've been working in human rights. And that's what I bring to this question before us here at council about proceeding with the security guard program. So I'm really glad you're all here to pay witness to the impacts of the program. Tonight, council will hear directly from you and others the submissions that you wish to bring on the draft council plan. This is your chance to tell councillors directly what you think of the draft plan. As you'll hear if you attend the meeting tonight, the draft council plan is about everything council does and proposes to do in this term of council, the remaining 3 years of this term of council. So it's not just about the security guard program, it's also about the right to protest, and parks, and climate, and bike lanes, and many other things. All the things that council does. Big, complex organisation. And you'll be hearing people talking about all of those issues in the meeting tonight. The council plan currently, this draft version, says that council will expand visible safety presence in the municipality and expand the CCTV camera system with 100 new cameras.
Hey, keep going.
So what is a visible safety presence? It doesn't say, but the annual budget adopted in June allocates $2 million to put, this is not my words, but in the annual budget it says more boots on the ground. And the budget allocates $2.1 million to upgrade and expand the CCTV network with these extra 100 cameras. Back in February, when we made the initial decision to start this pilot, the pilot, you'll recall, began in March. But back in February, when the council first made this decision, I amended the motion to add a detailed design and evaluation of the pilot. If it was to be a pilot, we should know clearly what its objectives were and how to measure the success of the pilot against those objectives. That detailed design and evaluation of that design never happened. I also asked for a parallel trial of social workers in place of security guards. Again, a useful, if it's an experiment, a useful trial, I would argue. If we're going to trial what happens with security guards on our streets, I argued we should also have a parallel trial in social workers instead. That never happened. I also asked for an international review of best practice responses to begging and to public consumption of alcohol, which are the two issues that were identified at the time as being the focus of this pilot. And a document with that title was published in June, which is available publicly, but it did not appear to inform the program in any significant way that I can see. So where are we now? You know better than I do what it's been like out on the streets since this program started in March. At this point in time, Council's private security contractors are about to finish and hand over the job to internal, directly employed security guards. It will be called community safety officers.
Shame!
I don't know when this exactly will happen, but we are told late October. Sorry about the mic. We're told this will happen in late October, which is soon, I guess. I would say we need this council to do a number of things. We need to review our local laws, what used to be called bylaws, the regulations that a local government enacts in light of the decriminalisation of public intoxication in Victoria. Do I need to say that again? Might cut out. I think we need to revisit our local laws in the light of the decriminalisation of public intoxication in Victoria, which we haven't done. And I think we should end this security guard program. I would like this council to reinvest that $2 million, which is only for the first year, in social programs, in consultation with people experiencing homelessness, mental illness, or using drugs, their representative organisations. I would like this council to advocate. It's one thing we're constantly doing, talking with other levels of government, and advocating is our role for our people here in this municipality. We do it all the time. We should be advocating strongly to the state government to increase mental health care and proven AOD harm reduction measures. We should be advocating strongly to the federal government to raise social security payments to above the poverty line. How is this controversial? We should further be advocating to the federal government, I would argue, to axe capital gains tax concessions and negative gearing to address our housing crisis. And better yet, I would argue we should hand over the CCTV network, which is a policing tool, to be paid for, hosted, managed and monitored by the state and police as a policing power belonging to the state, and to reinvest that $2.1 million into proven social programs. Let's call this security guard program for what it is. It's setting the power of the state against our most defenceless citizens, our sickest, poorest, most traumatised citizens. And it's not evidence-based. Policy that is not evidence-based is not responsible. It's not fiscally responsible. It's an irresponsible use of public money because there's no evidence that it will work. Council plans that don't work are a waste of public money. And we know what does work. As I've said, we need to work with people affected and their representative organisations and look at the evidence You will all be familiar, I'm sure, with justice reinvestment. It involves redirecting money from punitive law and order measures to rebuild communities and community infrastructure. It involves addressing the causes of offending by investing in social justice. Justice reinvestment, we know from the evidence, both saves money and creates safer communities for everyone. The Lord Mayor said in his election campaign last year, and I quote, "I want to give our rough sleepers a hand up and ensure that the support is there to help them get back on track and rebuild their lives. Tonight is your chance to tell him and all the councillors what would really help achieve this and what would not. And please note that no decision is going to be made by the council tonight. So just to give you a sense of what to expect, council will only hear verbal submissions tonight. After that, the draft council plan will be revised in response to your feedback tonight. And the final decision on the council plan will be made next week on Tuesday, the 28th of October. You can attend next week's meeting if you wish, but you can't speak at next week's meeting. So if you have registered to speak to the council meeting tonight, thank you. You will be given 3 minutes in which to speak. There is no limit to how many people can speak. So if we're here to midnight, that's fine by me. But you will have a strict time limit. When your name is called, you get up and you go to a lectern and there'll be a microphone. You'll be facing all of the councillors sitting in a row on the same level as you, and you can speak directly to them and me. There'll be a bell after 2 minutes. So when you hear the bell, don't panic. It's just 2 minutes as a warning. And then there'll be another bell at 3 minutes when you'll be asked to conclude what you're saying. If you choose to speak tonight, you will not be on camera, but your name will be read out and on the record, and your voice will be live streamed and recorded. If you have registered to speak and you want to pull out for any reason, that is fine. Just speak to the staff inside. So when the meeting starts, if you want to join or attend the meeting, either as an observer or to speak, the entrance is right there, and the chamber is directly inside on the ground floor. There's a brief security screening on the left. If you have bags, you'll need to put your bag through a scanner, but it's pretty straightforward. Right there. If you haven't registered to speak and you want to, you can. You don't have to register in advance. You just need to put your hand up when the Lord Mayor asks, is there anyone else who wants to speak? You can put your hand up then. Or if you'd like to speak to the staff inside before the meeting or when you go in, say, I would like to speak on this issue. They will put your name on the speaker list and the Lord Mayor will call your name. Sorry, I'm just finishing up. I hope this will be helpful to you. So just ask staff inside if you have any questions at all about anything to help you participate in this democracy. This is your council and you have a right to speak and be heard. And the council should hear about the impact of its decisions. So thank you for the chance to speak to you here today.
Thanks for coming, firstly. We've had a couple of really great speakers, like Robbie's, acknowledgement was awesome. Thanks so much, Robbie, that was awesome. And I think it's really important that, you know, we acknowledge that we're on First Nations land and
Aboriginal land.
Aboriginal land, I'm sorry. We want to pay our respects to any elders past, present, and emerging. I guess I can't add a lot to what people have said already, apart from who we haven't heard from right up until now is people that are having a lived experience. And as far as I'm concerned, as someone from the Homeless Persons Union, our job was to make sure that their voice was heard. And so that's why we collected the recordings for their testimonials for tonight. This policy is totally undemocratic. There's not a democratic bone in these people's body. They work on behalf of the people across the road in their shops. They work on behalf of capital. They don't work on behalf of people who are just normal working people. People on benefits, people on sickness benefits, people on the dole. People who are homeless, and it's time that their voices were heard also. And so as people from the Homeless Persons Union, we thought it was our job to make, we know that all of our rights are under attack, whether they're protest rights or just to be in public space. They're constantly under attack, and if you guys hadn't been here to support what's happening here tonight, to support the petition, thank you to the 1,200 people that signed that, and the people that helped us fund the speech, helped us pay our rough sleepers for their contributions. This wouldn't be happening, so thank you so much. That's what this is all about, is making sure that the people who are never heard get heard some fucking time, mate. Sometimes they get heard. And tonight is
going to
be one of them.
So we just heard from Uncle Robbie, Councillor Olivia Ball, and Spike from the Homeless Persons Union. And that was a speaker in front of Melbourne Town Hall's City Council meeting for the Future Communities program. Next, we're going to listen to, we've been very lucky, the Homeless Persons Union have shared with us all the testimonies that were presented to the councillors last night at their meeting. So we're going to play probably 7 of them. And keep listening, because it's pretty harrowing, their lived experience with these guards.
I'm a middle-aged Indigenous man that's been living on the streets for quite a few years now. Almost on a daily basis, they come past and with so-called council officers, and when they do, they sometimes try and gee you up to... like, they're supposed to have their body cameras on when they approach us and that, but they'll have them off and then they start trying to gee us up and hope for a response and stuff like that, so that way they can serve us with orders and that. And the security officers, they've got full support of the council from what I've seen. Mostly they'll come along and just try to use intimidation tactics by calling my name in a child's way sort of thing and hoping for a response. Just about every action I've ever had with them has all been negative. And, it sort of feels like, they place themselves above the law. One time they came along, they told me that it's illegal to sit up against the wall, but you can move to the other side of the footpath, and it's all legal in that. So I do that. Next day, the same officer comes down, tries to demand that I get up and go, otherwise they'll threaten me with police action, and then a street sweeper came along. The council worker stopped the street sweeper after it had passed, ordered him to turn around, come back and put his sprays on me and my girlfriend. And the day before, he was saying it was all legal for us to sit on that side of the street, and that they seem to chop and change the rules whenever they feel like it. And we got to cop it sweet, because no one really cares about people like us. Well, it makes me pretty worthless. We're supposed to be a country of equality, but being an Aboriginal person and homeless, I cop a lot more shit than the average Aussie does. And yeah, it doesn't make me feel fucking good at all. I believe the council should become more proactive and organise programs that's going to benefit the homeless person, you know, because at the moment, nothing's worse, it's happening. So, yeah, maybe they should, you know, spend the money and getting out of their fucking offices and coming and meeting us and that, you know, talk to us. We're human too.
I'm a 43-year-old woman. Last year, I lost my 13-year-old daughter at the start of the year, which caused me to slowly dwindle into have mental issues, obviously, with the loss of my third child, which led to me losing my job, which led to me unable to pay my rent, which obviously led to me being homeless and sleeping in cardboard boxes. I'd just like them to know that I'm not a drug addict, I'm not mentally ill, I'm just a woman who's had a couple of bad bouts. I've had plenty of interactions with the security guards of Melbourne that walk around with the council. Only on Saturday, just gone, they actually followed me most of the day. So anywhere that I stopped, they would tell me to move on. It even got to the stage where I didn't even have a hat out or a sign because, you know, that's what they say that they target is soliciting is what they call it. So in the end, I just was sitting in spots and they were coming up and saying, you can't be here either, you can't be there either. And it was like, in the end, we don't know where we're allowed to exist. So that's the problem. I see them probably three days in a week. Right, at least 3 days in a week, they'll stop at some stage and have a go and tell me to move on, pack up. I can't sleep here, I can't sleep there. It makes me feel like I'm not allowed to exist. Like I'm just physically not allowed to be anywhere. Well, a shop owner will move me on and then I'll go sit somewhere else and that person doesn't want me to be there either, so they ask me to move on. And in the end, that's where the aggression comes from the homeless people, because we just feel inhuman and just not able to exist. Like physically we're just not allowed to be anywhere. So yeah. Well, the money that they're using for the security, that money could be going into better spent projects of actually trying to solve the problem of why we're here. Not, you know, we don't choose to be here. We're not here because, you know, it's a life ambition. We don't say, oh, we're going to grow up and sit and beg for money. Like, you know, nobody wants to be here. They're spending all this money on the security when they could be actually trying to solve the problem and get buildings, you know, and prep them out to help more crisis places, or I don't know, just put more funding into getting people off the street, not causing us more dramas and more problems. So yeah, that's my...
First and foremost, I'd like the council to know that there's more than just a couple of homeless people around the CBD that struggle from every day and every night being homeless, and it can be pretty scary at times as it is, you know. And the first couple of times I was actually when the council members came up with the security guards to try and move me and a couple of my mates on, the way they went about it was very, very intimidating, and that's to say the least, you know. It was quite very scary, because they had guns on them too for a start, and they don't need guns. We're homeless people. We're not out here to start trouble, you know. What was quite upsetting about the whole situation was the fact that 2 seconds after they asked us to move on, we turned around and we said to them, well, and they said to us, well, why don't you, you know, piss off? Sorry to use the language, but they said, why don't you just piss off, go somewhere else. And when I said to them, well, where should we go? They said, they blatantly turned around, and this was one of the council members too, turned around and said, we don't give a flying F-U-C-K about where you go. It's not our problem. This isn't what we get paid for. We just get paid to move you guys on. And that was their attitude and the way they went about it. And they've had that exact same attitude and intimidation sort of tactic since the very first time that they came and moved us on. And they do it every couple of days. Don't get me wrong, it's I understand that, you know, they're trying to clean up the streets for the community as well, of course. But they don't have to go about it like that and be that sort of forceful, intimidating type of group of people the way they are like that. And they don't have to be so just callous about it either, you know. Honestly, it makes me feel about 2.5 inches tall, to be quite honest. I honestly don't know, after this happens every time, I don't know where I should go, what I should do, and how I should deal with it and try and get myself to deal with it emotionally as well, because I quite often I find myself getting quite upset and angry about it, you know, and I don't want people at all getting me worked up like that. They just make us feel even worse about ourselves, you know.
I'm not homeless. I used to be, so, yeah. So I've just been on and off, yeah. Yeah, yep. This was my home in the CBD, yeah. Oh, well, because the homeless people are like my family, you know. We all connected in different ways, and, yeah, and that's it. And we all supported each other, whether we're on drugs, alcohol, or just mental health, we're all together, you know, and we support each other. Yeah. It's lonely, you know what I mean? Like, and it's safe. It's safe. Some places are safe, you know, some places aren't, but we're all one community, like I said, yeah. It's all one, yeah. Oh, the security guards, there's a few of them, it's about five or six of them. I think it's a bit too much just to go around and kick people off the streets and to move along and that, you know. It's not, yeah, it's kind of bullying because they do it every day, a few times a day, yeah. Oh, the uniform's a bit too much, you know, and someone that understands as well, you know, that's been in the position before, you know, yeah. Yeah, no, it's just a bit too much because it's full on when there's like six of them around one person. They feel like the police, you know, like they're locking you up or moving you along, you know. And sometimes when you're not there, they take the stuff, you know. But yeah, it's happened to one of the brothers up the road there. But anyways, yeah. Yeah, they're taking his stuff and it's just, yeah, it's happened a few times years back for me. But yeah, it's life, it's, yeah, they just clean up, I suppose. But yeah. Oh, it's a really big impact because it goes on from one person to the next, and it's like it's contagious, you know, because when one's upset and they see another one upset, and it's bringing back memories and stuff that's happened to them, you know. So yeah, it's a bit hard, yeah, yeah, when they take things and it's really, it's all they got, you know, yeah, yeah, it's all we've got, yeah.
Well, short story, rejected as a child, abused in foster care, rejected by foster care, on the streets from 16, in and out of homes, in and out of places, sleeping under bridges, in drains. That's been my life. We went from being homed and having a family down to having absolutely nothing, no support. It felt like there was no one in our corner and it felt like we were taking on the system. 5 years ago, we used to sleep on the casino bridge. When we're asleep, we used to have the council steal our luggage. Yeah, when we're asleep, take our luggage, put it in the back of their truck. Then they, about 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, they done this. They done a blitz through the town. I was lucky enough to get charged three different occasions. And I went to court for it. The judge sort of was disappointed because it was a waste of resources to have a charge called begging in arms and waste of court's time. He basically said to the police prosecutor, I'm not going to deal with this. This lady needs help, not a charge. Punishment for being homeless. We're going to offer her services today and she's going to walk out of here. Anyway, when they started with the security guards, totally different atmosphere, not so polite no more. I don't know how to put it in words, but it felt like they had piled us up and gone, hey, these guys are no good, they're there all the time, let's break them up and get them out of the CBD so we can make our town look better. They went the wrong way about it. They were aggressive, not nice. They'd ask you to move on, standing over you, intimidating you. And the security guards, they make you feel really scared. They make you feel like you're doing something wrong. You do not feel human. The way that they single you out, and you know they're coming, they push past everybody, you start to panic, you start to feel uneasy, you start to look around wondering who's judging you. It's just creating more feelings and more complications within being homeless. Try this. Go out on the streets, pretend to be homeless for a week. Then you might understand why we put our barriers up. We're not aggressive. We put our barriers up because you make us feel confused on what we should do. You're not there accommodating us, helping us, giving us information. You're just trying to get rid of us. That doesn't help the problem. It just makes it worse. I believe the people that are out here have tried their best and they're broken. They need help. We're just normal people that are down on our luck. Made one silly mistake or a bad choice and here we are. It's not like we're not trying.
Well, I'm 43. Been homeless for about 5 years now. Yeah, I've been in the city for sort of just over a year. And I think realistically, look, they've been generally before all this was happening, they were pretty good. But they... Yeah, a group of, it can be from 4 to 6 security will just sort of appear from nowhere. It's amazing. It's like they're ninjas. Like, you know, they're just next minute, bang, they're there. And it's like, you got no warning and they just say, they go, you can't be here, you got to move. You know, and it's like, you're not doing anything. Like, you're just sitting there. I've even got permission from the people here to be here. And they go, it doesn't matter, you got to move. You ask them, okay, well, you know, where can I, is there somewhere I can go? Like, they go, no, I don't, you can't be here. And then if you move somewhere else, they do the same thing. So I'm not quite sure exactly what their intention. I mean, what is it, like move it to another council so then they can deal with it? Like, that's not really exactly, I don't think that's something that's you know, sustainable. It's rude, you know, I mean, a couple of them, I think, at the start even had guns on them. You know, the first group, they've had tasers now. But, yeah, they just tell you to leave and, yeah, that was it, so. I feel intimidated, but it gets me quite annoyed just because they don't really know, you know, they all probably just have an assumption or they think it's, I don't know, you feel like you're nobody, you know, you're not important or, you know, you can't even exist. Like I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. I don't ask anyone. I don't accost anyone. I don't, you know, whatever. I just sit here, and that's not good enough. That's still not enough. So it's like, well, I just don't get it. You know, there was one time when one of the group came up and actually damaged some of my stuff. Like I had just had a sign there with my you know, my belongings and that. And then as I sort of just walked off, but just to a little bit, he sort of picked it up and just started ripping it up. And I was like, you know, I had a go at him, said, what are you doing? And he just went, chucked it in the bin and, you know, they all walked off. Like, so just, I just don't think that's exactly a, you know, something you should be doing. I mean, it's my stuff. Regardless if it's what it is, doesn't matter, it's mine. And you just shouldn't be ripping it up like as if it's, you know what I mean? They're not nice about it to start with. And then they, you know, it's like they've got a vendetta about it, you know, like it's almost like they choose people that just hate homeless people. It's like, well, they don't know what everyone's backstory is and why they're in that position. There could be heaps of things, you know, and, you know, that's just not ideal, you know.
I'm homeless. I've been homeless for 2 years. There is not enough done in Melbourne by the council for the homeless. or if they remove us from the city. If they remove us from the city, where do we go? We become a burden for someone else. The council need to, rather than have security guards, spend the money helping people. They are getting rid of people that they shouldn't, people that are doing no harm, sitting there on streets, right? They're taking their gear. What do they do for sleeping with no gear? It's pathetic. They are spending money hiring people that could be spent otherwise. There was another guy that used to beg outside 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven were happy for him to be there. He was, whatever money he got, he would spend at 7-Eleven. Then they moved him on. They told him, get out of the city, see you later. For what? People were giving him money. He had a sign saying, help the homeless. How is that wrong? I've heard people have lost their belongings. They've left it behind. They've been taken. They've come back and there's nothing there for them. There's no, they've had no sleeping bags, no nothing to sleep in. I don't know what happens to the gear. I've heard people say they've gone to council and they can't find it. And there's nothing. A restless night, cold night, a wet night. It's just preposterous. They need better communication with the homeless facilities. They need to coordinate. They need to help be a solution, not part of the problem. They're heartless. They have no sympathy. They have no care. It makes me angry. And I don't like being angry. No. I'm not a nice person when I'm angry. Generally I'm nice, but I can get angry. But they won't come at me. They leave people my size alone. They pick on vulnerable. I never knew there was free food at the market. I thought Melbourne didn't care. To find out there are services that do put food up at the market every night for the homeless. To find places that will give you a shower, give you a washing. The hardest part is finding somewhere safe to sleep. And then to have people say you can't sleep here because it's garbage. Where else do you go? I mean, Melbourne is a caring place. I thought you had to be a bum to be homeless. It can happen to anyone. It happened to me. Married, divorced, owned businesses, owned house. Now nothing. It can happen to anyone. I don't know what happens to women and children, but I'm big enough and ugly enough to take care of myself. Other people can't. It's a sad thing that we're down to this. When we start not caring, humanity suffers.
You have just heard from people sleeping rough in the city of Melbourne and their experiences with Crownland Security, the private for-profit security company that the City Council has engaged to essentially move on and criminalise, move on people who are homeless and to criminalise poverty. The Homeless Persons Union is encouraging members of the public to make a submission to the City Council because they are considering this plan, Melbourne 2025 to 2029 plan, and within that is the decision of whether or not to continue funding this program. So submissions, I think, open from tomorrow, and we'll have a link on the program's website as well. But you can make submissions up until next Tuesday's council meeting, which is at 5:30, and that is the meeting where they'll formally adopt this plan. So if you are moved or affected by this plan, we strongly encourage you to make a submission.
Thank you, Aku. It's very interesting just looking at the homelessness strategy, Melbourne City Council homelessness strategy from 24 to 2030. I'll just go through that quickly. Priority one, a city where everyone has a home. We take a person-centred approach to preventing people from becoming homeless and supporting each person on their pathway out of homelessness. Priority two, a city focused on ending homelessness through partnerships and collaboration. We will create an inclusive city where everyone is supported and ensure that coordinated services, collaboration and advocacy through partnerships with our community governments, corporates and the homeless sector. Priority three, a city united to end homelessness. We will support our community to be informed, respectful, empathetic and united to end homelessness. Well, it's hardly the case, looking at what's going on at the moment with the employment with the security.
That's right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. To listen to a full audio of Bunjil's Fire radio show, a historically informed critical analysis of Aboriginal affairs and the ongoing political movement for land rights, treaty, sovereignty and the cessation of genocide, go to 3cr.org.au/bundrelsfire. If you want to support independent black media on 3CR, please go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.